I miss you. At that point, it was about 2 weeks. Now we're what, going on 4 or 5? And it just doesn't feel right. I hope it still doesn't feel right. There are many in the world today who, fortunately, are probably paying attention to maybe some live streams, and that could be some good that comes from this type of service. But we're a family, and we love to be together, and unfortunately, we can't be once again. But while we're making do, hopefully our study and our worship this morning can be acceptable, that we're together in spirit, that Jesus is still with us because one or two are together in spirit and heart, and hopefully we're doing the things that are pleasing to Him. I'll tell you, I was playing a game recently, and if you're used to online gaming, you realize you hear other people talking, right? And I was told recently that I talk like a hillbilly. So I wanted to start building my vocabulary up. I really wanted to study some different words, maybe understand the meaning to words a little better so I could not sound as much like a hillbilly. But as I've been studying through some different words, mostly scripturally, I've come across some words that I thought I knew from the very early stages of my life, and I realized that there are some other meanings to them that I wasn't fully aware of. And I want to talk to you this morning about one word that I came across that you are just as much familiar with as I am, a word that we use in Bible study when we're talking about scriptural things. And I want to give you another look at what this word could mean in a different sense. Now, that word I'm talking about is the word Hebrew. If I came to you and I asked you, what comes to your mind when you hear the word Hebrew or Hebrews? You would probably be like me and say, well, it's the Jews. It's referring to the lineage of Abraham. And while that's correct, we see that all throughout the New Testament. If you turn to the book of James and you see who James is writing to, he says he's writing to the 12 tribes who have been scattered. We say, well, that's the Hebrews. That's the Jews he's writing to. If you flip back to the letter before James, it's the letter of Hebrews. It's a letter that we would say, yes, is written to Jewish Christians at that time there in the first century. But what if I told you that there might be a different meaning to the word Hebrew in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, as the word Hebrew is used, there might be something different than just specifying a group of people, specifying an ethnic group of people. And the reason why I come across this is I came across several things written about this word that would have to say that there's a different definition to the word Hebrew. Most likely it originated from the word Ibri, I-B-R-I. And that word means to cross over. To cross over. If you put that word Ibri with a person, with you and I, and say, well, this is someone who is Ibri, it would mean that this is someone who is wandering or traveling from place to place. It's someone who is a nomad. It's someone who is an alien. And if that meaning is true, then we look back at the patriarchs in the Old Testament and see that, well, it does fit. For example, if you flip back to Genesis chapter 12 with me, Genesis chapter 12, we see that God is about to talk to Abraham. Abraham being that man that all the Jews in the New Testament look back to and say, we're of his family, we're of his lineage. We look back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and look what God tells Abraham to do in verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. At this point, if we're going by that definition of the word Hebrew as being one who is a wanderer, one who is an alien, it fits Abram to a T. Because what God does here is He tells them, leave what you're used to. Leave the land that you're used to and go to a place that is unknown, a land that you're foreign to. The land that I will lead you to. And it's no coincidence, I believe, if you flip over two chapters in Genesis chapter 14, that the word Hebrew is used for the very first time in the Bible. Genesis chapter 14 in verse 13, we see this word used for the first time saying, then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew. I find it no coincidence that if this is what this word means, then It's describing Abram, a man who two chapters earlier was told by God, you are now going to be a wanderer. You're now going to be a nomad, Abram. Think of Joseph. Think of how his life turned out and how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And through that time on, he was a wanderer. He was in a foreign land, a place he was not used to, a place that was not his home, not with his family. He was a wanderer. I think even of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that's being talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. If you flip to the New Testament there, in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you'd like to place a marker here, we'll be referring back to Hebrews chapter 11 several times this morning. But in Hebrews chapter 11, as Abram and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah being talked about here in verses 8 through 12, we see in verse 13 that it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured by them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That what this verse shows us is that these people lived a life of nomads, a life of being foreign to the land in which they were surrounded by. And even what you might think is, well, that does apply to certain patriarchs, AJ, but what about the children of Israel when they entered into the land that God was going to give them? What were they really nomads then? And I believe that answer is still yes. And let me tell you why. Because in Joshua chapter 1, we do read of God telling Joshua, look, Moses is dead. Moses has passed on. But now you, Joshua, take the children of Israel, cross over the Jordan, and take this land in which I'm going to give you. We read that's the case. But as we're talking about Joshua, if you look in Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer also looks back to Joshua. He looks back to Joshua starting in verse 8. But Hebrews chapter 4 is a chapter about God's rest. Not a rest that we could find anywhere on this earth, but a rest that comes from Him. You remember Casey did a lesson several months ago, last year, early in the year, on heaven. And he said that the number one way that heaven is described is it's a place of rest, isn't it? It's a place where we can rest. That's what this chapter is talking about. And Mike was talking about God creating the earth, the first 6 days, the work that God put in, and on the seventh, He rested. And this writer, the Hebrew writer, is saying that is what the rest we're looking forward to is. A rest that comes from God. And in verse 8, he says, for if Joshua had given them rest, talking about Israel, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward had spoken of another day. What this verse shows us is that even though they had entered into a land which God gave them, they were still spiritual sojourners looking for a city that Abraham, back when he was alive, looked forward to. If you flip forward to Hebrews chapter 11 again in verse 9, it says, by faith he, Abram, dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Listen, for he waited for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. That's who Abram looked to. That he looked for that place where he could have true rest. A place where the city where the builder and maker was none other than God. You see, as we look through the Old Testament, I think it can be very well applied that the word Hebrew is simply designating a group of people who are looking forward to that city and looking forward to being with God. It's people who are different than those who are in the world. It's people who are different and not conforming to the nations around them. It's people who were God's, children of God. So how does this apply to us? That's what I want to focus on for the rest of our time this morning. How does this idea of a Hebrew being that apply to you and I? And you probably can see where I'm going, but the way I want to do this morning is by looking at three other words, three New Testament words that we can see that apply not only to Abram or Abraham in the Old Testament in a physical way, but even more importantly for us, they apply to us in a spiritual way, in a spiritual sense. And I hope that we can get something from that. These words have very close meanings to what we're saying the word Hebrew has. These words mean something like alien or sojourner, and we'll talk about them as we get to them. But they're very similar, and we're going to see how they fit us using the Scripture that's been given. The first word is parabipidemus. Parabipidemus. Now, that's the toughest one I have to say. And luckily, I don't have an overhead to where you can see the spelling. But you're just going to have to trust me that's how you say it, because I'm pretty sure I'm right. Parabipidemus is simply an alien. It's an alien. You think about how we use the word alien today. There's two ways we use the word alien today. We would say, well, an alien is one who's from another country, right? It's someone who we might say, he's not from around here, okay? And then the other way we might use alien is a little more sci-fi and fake, is outer space, right? The aliens from outer space. And again, we would probably say, well, he's not from around here. But either way, we understand the idea of what an alien is. That's very familiar to us. And this word that's used for both Abraham and us, it is meant to show us we're not a part of this world. We're just visiting. If you turn your Bibles back to Hebrews chapter 11, if you're not there, we read verse 13. I'll read it again just for context sake. But 13 through 16 gives us a little bit more of a picture of what these patriarchs were looking to. In verse 13 it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured by them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." What we see here is the writer is talking about these patriarchs, these ones who came in the Old Testament. And the specific word that we're using here, the word that would mean an alien, is said here as pilgrims in verse 13. That when the word is used, it's saying we're pilgrims, we're aliens. He's saying there's somewhere better we're looking to. He says in verse 14, "For those who say such things clearly declare plainly that they seek a homeland." Abram was seeking that promise that God had given him way back then. And I want you to see that that's us today, isn't it? God has given us a promise. He's assured us that there is a home, a rest for us, laid up in heaven with Jesus. And that's what we look forward to. We're not looking forward to any earthly thing because we can't put our hope in any earthly and worldly thing. We put our hope in God. So we're aliens because of that. If you flip forward a few pages in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, this is another place this word is used in the Scripture in the New Testament. There's actually only three places, and two of them are here in 1 Peter. But Peter starts off his letter by saying this, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to who? To the pilgrims of the dispersion." And he lists the different places that they have been dispersed. This word, alien, is being used here for pilgrim. And he's reminding them, before he even gets started in his letter, he's letting them know, remember who you are. Remember that you're not a part of this world. Remember that you're not a part of the things that are going on around you. You're to be different. You're called out. He uses it again in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But three times only this word is used in the New Testament. But as you can see, it applies just as much to Abraham as it does to you and I today, this morning, as we're considering ourselves as Christians, called out from this world, aliens to this world. Okay, the second word I have for you is parakos. P-A-R-O-K-O-S. Parakos. This word simply means a sojourner. Very similar, again, to the word alien, but this is a sojourner. One who sojourns to a foreign land. One who does not belong to his surroundings. And we see this in several passages, probably five or six passages throughout the New Testament. One of those being Acts chapter 13. If you flip back to Acts chapter 13, as we're thinking about how it applies to the patriarchs and to really the children of Israel, those who we would say are Hebrews. In Acts chapter 13, Starting in verse 16, Paul's going to stand up before these Jews, and he's going to say to the men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. Verse 17, the God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, He brought them out of it. What he says here is that the children of Israel, they dwelt, they perikos is that word, they dwelt as strangers in Egypt. They didn't belong in Egypt. God never planned on them staying forever in Egypt. That wasn't their final place. He had plans for them. He had plans ahead of them. So He said that they're strangers in that land of Egypt. They don't belong. Now I want you to see how it applies to us. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul uses the exact same word, perikos. He uses the exact same word to talk about those Christians in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2. He uses it in verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. He says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Now hold your place there. Keep that in mind. Flip back to 1 Peter. I want you to see something, because people will read what Paul has to say here in Ephesians, and then they'll look at what Peter has to say in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and they'll say, well, they're contradicting. They're saying different things. But I want you to see the differences that are being said here. This word, again, is used in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, where Peter says, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So Peter says, you are sojourners, you are pilgrims, while Paul in Ephesians is saying, you're no longer strangers, you're no longer foreigners. But I want you to see the difference. The difference is Paul is talking to the group at Ephesus, and he's saying, you're no longer strangers. He's saying, you're no longer strangers to God. You're no longer strangers to God's people, but instead you've been brought together as a group, as a family of God. And because of that, we can take hold, we can be in that household of God. But on the flip side, what Peter is saying is that we are still sojourners. We're sojourners and we're pilgrims because we don't belong in the place that we currently reside. I don't know about you, brethren, but I don't want to reside here forever. I don't want to be here forever with all the wickedness and with all the sickness and the pain and the sadness. That I don't want to be here forever. No, we look forward to a place of true rest. Rest that there will be no sadness, no disease, no crying, no pain. That's the rest that we look forward to. So Peter, as he's talking to this group, and as he's already told them, look, you're pilgrims in this world, he says to them in verse 11, stay that way. Stay in the mindset that you don't belong here. Stay in the mindset that you're different, that you stand out. And I think that applies very well to us. That is the attitude we're to have when we go to our jobs. When we go into any part of this world in our life, we approach it in the sense that I'm just passing through. Right? That we sing the song, this world is not my home. And we sing it because we know that that's the truth. That this world isn't our final resting place. And that's exactly what Peter was trying to get across to these Christians. All right, the final word I have is the word xenos. X-E-N-O-S. Xenos. Xenos simply means to be strange. To be foreign. To be weird, if you will. I asked Andrew if I could tell this story, but back when I was in Auburn, I was asked to write a 10-page paper. That was actually the longest paper I had to write through my whole college career, which is pretty good. I've heard some horror stories about some longer papers. But a 10-page paper, I had to write about five people who I respected, who I loved, and it'd be two pages per person. Somehow Andrea made it on the list, right? And I wrote about Andrea. I put my heart and soul into writing it. I thought I had written down the most romantic thing ever. And I'm pretty sure my teacher thought the same thing because I got an A. She might even put a smiley face on there. I knew she loved the paper. And with such a big head about writing such a romantic thing down, I said, I'm going to show Andrea. I'm going to show her exactly how I feel about her. And I did. And I did not get the response I was looking for. While I thought she was going to be in love with what I wrote down one sentence, and I might have put it a few times, but I wrote down one sentence that she didn't like too much. I wrote, Andrea stood out to me because she was weird. And you can imagine, you ladies, you can imagine how that would maybe come across the wrong way. And to this day, I'm still trying to tell Andrea and convince her that what I meant was she was weird. She stood out to me. She wasn't the normal girl who was trying to be all that. She wasn't trying to be somebody she wasn't. She was her. Andrea was herself. And that was weird compared to all the other girls around. And that's exactly how we're supposed to be as Christians. As we are walking in this world, we're too supposed to stand out. We're not supposed to try to conform and fit along with every walk of this life that so many in this world do, but we're to be different. We're to be weird. And this word is only used two times in the New Testament, but it's used to show us that that's exactly who we are. We're weird people. Not in the sense of how we act, but how we stand out. How we look to those who are living worldly lives. If you flip back to Hebrews chapter 11, that verse that I said we'd go back to, we'll go back to it one more time. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 13, which we've already read, the word strangers there is the word xenos. The word strangers. And that's what these patriarchs considered themselves. If we're going to consider ourselves weird, we look back and we see that's the same thing that Abram and Isaac and Jacob consider themselves. We're weird. We're strange. We're not a part of this surrounding that we have been placed in. And the other place is in the verse we already read in Ephesians chapter 2. When Paul is talking to the Christians, he uses this word xenos or strangers, foreigners. What we see through these three words, and the very few times they're used, is that we as Christians, if going by what this definition could mean for the word Hebrews, we as Christians fit that mark to a T, or we should. What we should be the current day Hebrews in 2020. We should be the ones who stand out. We should be the ones who don't fit in and conform. Because like we said, brethren, we don't want to conform to this place. This isn't our final resting home. That we look forward to the same thing that Abram, we look forward to the same thing that the Israelites and Joshua, we look forward to the same thing the prophets and the apostles, we look forward to that final home with God. A home and a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we look forward to. You know, I mentioned we sing the song, "This World Is Not My Home." What are we saying when we sing that song? We're saying we're sojourners. We're saying we're aliens. We're saying we're Hebrews. We're saying we're different. The question is, though, does that describe you this morning? Are you different? Are you standing out in your walk? Are you being this definition of the word Hebrew? Are you being Xenos or Perikos, whatever it may be? Are you being different? Are you being different? Do you understand and do you show others that your home is not here but somewhere else, somewhere ahead? Is that you? You know, I mentioned that it's commonly thought that the word Hebrew came from Ebri, and Ebri means to cross over. Well, the fact is that if you're a child of God this morning, if you're a Christian, if you've passed over that watery grave of baptism, then you have crossed over. You've made that confession and the decision to cross over, just as the Old Testament patriarchs did. They've crossed over to a new home, a new life. And if you haven't done that this morning, we beg you to consider it. We all, as Christians, have a final resting place we look forward to, and we want you to be a part of it. Brethren, I appreciate you listening. I hope I didn't get too repetitive. But again, continue to focus on what's important in this life. Don't let COVID-19 cause you to stumble. Focus on what's important, and that is our final resting place with God. We'll now have our song before the Lord's Supper.